Amen. Well, the Lord is good to us, isn't He? The Lord is good all the time, and all the time the Lord is good. You know, some of my favorite memories, childhood memories growing up, were Wednesday night services. Not just the service in and of themselves, but before the service, my mom would take me and my sister out to dinner, you know, because back in those days, you know, it wasn't any strange thing for the service to go a couple of hours. So you had to get dinner in before the service for sure if you wanted to eat. And with that, my father would always go into the church early to pray. And it would just be my sister and my mother and I. We'd go out to dinner. And we'd always either go to one of two places. Back then it was when primarily the church was on 18. We lived in Clinton, and we'd always go either to the Shoney's there in Clinton or Captain D's. See, we went to Shoney's because kids ate free on Wednesday nights. And we'd go to the Captain D's and get fish and then the little chocolate cakes that they had there. And every Wednesday night, it was always one of the two. Occasionally, we'd get a little excited and go to Piccadilly. But primarily, it was always Shoney's or Captain D's. And it just seemed as if during those segments, during those times, there was a likeness about my mother. And it was just sweet fellowship, you know. You know, it wasn't just correction or it wasn't just eating. It was fellowship. And I always remember those moments. I always remember those times, that warm fellowship that I had with her, even as just a little boy. And tonight, we were on the way to church, my wife and I, and our two kids. And I saw the Dairy Queen up there. And so I asked my kids, you know, you want any ice cream? And so I took them in to get them some ice cream before service. And he asked my wife, that's a very rare thing for me. We've never done anything like that because I'm very solemn before I preach. I like to being in prayer and all of those things. And I just felt led to take my children there and share ice cream with them and fellowship with them and laugh with them and just watch them enjoy themselves on the way to church. And friends, that's something about the heart of our Father God, that He desires rich fellowship with us. Amen. I mean, He loves us. The depth of His love for you, for me, it's unlike anything you as a natural father or a natural mother could ever experience. And when I think of that, because I know the love that my mother had for me, my father had for me, and I definitely know the love I have for my children. And I think that can't possibly hold a candle to the way my Father God loves me. Friends, it does something to you. It does something to you. And that's why we worship, and that's why we praise, and that's why we take the time to magnify Him and to come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, is to honor the love He has for us, to return that love back unto Him and to say, you know, I'm not too busy to get to know You. I think that's why the Lord had me stop and get ice cream with my children, that I'm never too busy, I'm never too spiritual to enjoy You. Amen. And God's the same way. He's never too busy for us. He wants to enjoy us. He longs to be with us. Now sometimes we can get too busy for Him. You know, we can have that Martha syndrome fall on us. Where we just get too busy, tied into doing things, and we forget to just sit at the Master's feet. And not even to receive things from Him, but just to enjoy Him. Amen. Just to get to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. Friends, I'm telling you, Jesus, that's one of the main reasons why I love reading the Gospels, is Jesus is revealing unto us the Father, the relationship between a son and a father. He was coming to show and to change mindsets. See, back then, they only knew religion as servants of God. And Jesus came and introduced being sons and daughters of the Most High God. And change the perception people had of God. They thought of God as just a ruthless judge. And Jesus was showing them that God is a Father who loves His children. Has compassion towards us. And friends, I'm telling you, God flat out loves us. And when you know that, and when you fellowship with that, it's impossible for it not to change you. In the sense of, obviously, it makes faith come up higher. You know, when you know how much someone loves you, it gives you faith and boldness when you approach them. Isn't that right? I mean, I know there are some people in my life who love me. And, you know, I'll put it to you this way. I've gone in people's houses before. You know, they'll have you over. And you don't know them that well, so you're a little bit hesitant to ask them for something. You ever been there before? You know, maybe you're a little bit nervous. I can remember when my father passed away, we were up at Rhema. And Brother Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen, and Pastor Hagen, his son, asked me to have Thanksgiving with him. I was just a young guy. And to have Thanksgiving with the man of God, someone you just admire, and all of that was just, you know, awe-inspiring to say the least. But, buddy, you talk about nervous. I mean, they placed me at the Thanksgiving table right next to Brother Hagen. And I mean, you didn't want to, much less talk, much less ask for anything. I mean, you didn't want to say anything that you'd regret and all of those things. And so, you know, you may want salt, but you're not going to ask him to pass it. You know, but when you're around your own kinfolk and you're familiar with them, then your faith in them comes up higher. You know what I mean by that? To where you'd freely ask them to pass the salt or for another biscuit or whatever it may be. Why? There's a level of comfort there. Well, see, that's why one of the reasons why it's important to walk with the Lord and fellowship with Him in worship is it raises your faith in Him. The more you get to know Him and the more you get to walk with Him, you see how good He is and you see how much He loves you. And friend, it makes faith soar mountain high. But one of the other things it does for you, and primarily this is what I've seen it do for me, is it puts in me a deep honor for Him. I obey Him not because I'm scared of Him. I obey Him because I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to wound Him. I know how much He loves me from fellowship with Him. And I don't want to do anything that would hurt Him. And when you know someone intimately like that, it modifies your behavior around them. It modifies your behavior in life. And that's what we're getting at in this series, Walking with the Lord. We want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to introduce Him to you. For some of you who've known Him and walked with Him for years, I want you to walk with Him on a deeper level, to fellowship with Him like you've never fellowshiped with Him before, to know Him intimately. You can know God. I mean, you can know Him. You know, growing up, there were a lot of people who wanted to know my father, and a lot of people who say they knew my father. But when you live with a man, you really know him. Does that make sense? And so, you know, it's funny, even with Brother Hagen, you have all these ministers who say they knew him. But, you know, when you live with him, like Pastor Hagen did, his son, then you really know somebody. And it's the same way with the Lord. You know, so many people want to brag about how they know him. But friends, there are some people who know him so well, they just abide in him, abiding in the vine. And it opens up new facets to him. I know that, you know, if you knew my father, some would say he might be a serious man. But if you lived with him, you knew he was happy-go-lucky, I mean joyous. He would show sides of himself to us that he wouldn't show to everyone else. Does that make sense? And it's the same way with God. The more you get to know Him, I mean, God shows Himself to you. And He reveals Himself to you. And you know Him on a personal, intimate basis. That's a splendid thing. And so for all of us, we want to come up higher in this. And a big key to it is what we've been talking about with spiritual growth. See, God is a spirit. Now we know Jesus was sent here, God made manifest in the flesh. But we know that when Jesus' body was placed in that tomb, that wasn't the real Jesus. Jesus is a spirit. You're a spirit. You know, we've talked about these things. Man's a three-part being. We won't take the time to teach on it like we've taught on it before. You can go back and get the CDs or download it on podcast. But if you're going to walk with God, you got to be aware of that fact that you are spirit. That you're not just a body and you're not just a mind. You are a spirit being. And in order for us to be aware of these things, we've got to grow up spiritually. We've been talking about spiritual growth, and we said that spiritually you can grow just like you can mentally. How many of you should know more than you knew 10 years ago? Amen. We ought to be growing and developing mentally. You ought to be bigger than you were physically than you were as an infant, right? You grew up. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. You can grow and develop spiritually. And we showed a lot of scriptures along those lines. But the benefits of it and the spiritual benefits of it are phenomenal. I mean, just phenomenal. We talked about how the Bible likens people who just got born again to newborn babes. And we said that spiritually speaking, that's a level of development that very few people ever grow beyond. Spiritual babies in Christ. We looked at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How Paul wrote to him and said, I long to speak to you as spiritual, but I got to speak to you as carnal, as newborn babies in Christ. And so we looked at that stage of development. And we said that you can tell if you're a baby by how's your love walk. What does it take to get you upset? What does it take to get you violating that love commandment? And then we looked at carnality, that when you got born again, you got called out of the world. But very few Christians have ever left the world. Their life looks eerily similar to someone who doesn't know the Lord. And we said those are the two markers of spiritual growth to always keep your eye on. The more you grow up spiritually, the more refined your love walk gets. And the more you grow up spiritually, the more you lose your appetite for things of the world, and the greater your appetite gets for spiritual things. We said the third characteristic of a baby is ignorance. We said just like a normal, natural little baby, a little infant. I have two children of my own, and I can remember when they were just infants, they didn't know anything. And so they're learning. I mean, they're learning not to play with chemicals and all the cleaning products. And until they learn that, you got to put the safety latches on the doors. And they're learning how to eat, and they're learning how to feed themselves, and they're learning how to go to the bathroom by themselves on the toilet. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I mean, it's splendid. They're learning how to not get out of the bed when you put them in bed and all of those things. But see, they're learning. You've got to teach them those things. And spiritually speaking, newborn babies, according to the book of Hebrews, there's, what would be the word for innocence? An innocence about a newborn baby in Christ, someone who's still a baby spiritually. They don't know good from bad. Haven't been taught. They haven't been taught love. The only love they know is the world's love. They've never heard about agape love, the God kind of love, a new kind of love. So they don't know to walk in it. So they treat people the same way they always treated people because they don't know any better. They don't know about faith. They haven't been taught faith. They're a little baby. I mean, they haven't been taught it. And so even when they're sitting in a church like this and hearing things about faith, I mean, their little hearts, their little spirits are coming alive because they're growing and they're learning and light is coming to them. So that ignorance issue, as we grow, begins being solved. The more we hear the Word of God, the more the Word of God grows us up. And so he said the second level of spiritual growth is that a childhood stage. Paul said, I put away childish things. And so we talked about that a little bit 2 weeks ago, where we said, you know, a little child is still dealing with those love walk issues, although they're a little bit more refined in it. They're still dealing with this carnality issue, although they're a little bit more refined in it. But the main difference between a child, spiritually speaking, and a little infant, a little baby, spiritually speaking, is the ignorance issue. When a child doesn't know to do better, he needs to be taught. But when a child knows what to do, he doesn't need to be taught anymore. He needs to be corrected. And so, spiritually speaking, people who are still in the infancy stage They don't know any better. There's an innocence there. They're not skillful. I love how Hebrews put it. They're not skillful in the word of righteousness. But a child spiritually has sat under the word. They've gone to a church like this. They've heard the word. They've been taught the word. They're growing and developing. And so they know what to do. And so from then on out, it's just a matter of them being a doer of what they know. And we gave this illustration. My child, Avery, she knows how to feed herself. You can set food down in front of her. But if she was just going to eat anything she wanted, it would always be candy. It would always be chicken nuggets with ketchup. It would always be those types of things. So she's got to be pushed and prodded to eat things that minister life to her. If it was just up to her, I mean, she could sit in front of the television and just watch all kinds of cartoons. But she's got to be pushed and prodded to turn off the TV and go and play outside or go and watch an educational video. Well, she knows what to do, but as a child, you got to kind of push them and prod them in the right direction. And that's the biggest difference between a spiritual baby and a spiritual child. A spiritual baby doesn't know to do better. They got to learn. But a spiritual child knows what to do. It's just a matter of whether or not they do it. And that's why the majority of the time, if you've come to this church for a while and you hear teaching, you're not learning anything new. Am I right? I mean, you're not learning anything new. But sometimes that may be the case where you do learn something that you've never heard before or heard something said in a way you've never heard it said. But there's only so many different ways you can preach faith. There's only so many different ways you can preach healing and prayer and all of these other subjects. From then on out, once you're learned, once you're versed, you've grown up into a spiritual child. The word has come. Now what it is, some pushing and prodding. I mean, yeah, you're right. I need to walk in love. I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I need to control my temper. Or, you're right. I know I need to pray. And I know I need to spend more time in prayer. It's a pushing and prodding. Does that make sense? So a spiritual baby, they're innocent. They don't know any better. They need teaching. But a spiritual child needs correction. And we said this is why it's important that you go to the right church. Because the right church, it's not afraid to get over into issues where some correction is given. And it's got to be spoken in love, and the truth's got to be spoken in love. But nonetheless, you got to go to a place that's going to tell you the truth and not just what you want to hear. So now tonight, what we want to talk about is mature manhood, adulthood. Spiritually speaking, this is where we want to be. I mean, this is the high prize. Growing up to be fully developed spiritually. With this, when you reach this stage, buddy, life gets brighter and brighter. I'm serious. It gets better and better. You've heard the word, now you're doing the word, and you're blessed in your deeds because of it. It's getting better and better. And there's a lot of characteristics to it. I'll show you a first one. Look over here in Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 24. And let's look here in verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. And then from there, we'll go right over to the book of Hebrews. So get ready to turn. Matthew chapter 25, verse 45. Notice this. In verse 45, it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord," now notice the words here, "whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season." Notice, there are some servants in the house of the Lord that are considered faithful and wise. And these individuals who are considered faithful and wise, they've got something going for them. They're put in charge of the Lord's goods. And they got meat in their season, meaning there's no need in their life. They're put in charge of great works. and their needs are always provided for. It's a faithful and wise servant. Now notice this in verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Well, what is it about this servant that makes him faithful and wise? We're about to find out, because he's going to describe to us an unfaithful servant in the next couple of verses. Verse 47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now notice, he's going to do two things here. And shall one begin to smite his fellow servants. It's number one. Smite his fellow servants. And to eat and drink with the drunken. That's number two. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like fun, does it? Notice the two issues that are being dealt with here primarily are, number one, walking in love. The unwise, the unfaithful servant said, you know what, my Lord, he's probably going to delay his coming. And so he goes and starts roughing up his fellow servants. Starts violating that love commandment. And number two, we see this guy gets carnal. He says, you know what, I'll go over here and drink with the drunken people. Go over here and act like them. And those were the two issues that God said made this man unwise, made him unfaithful, and because of that, disaster hit his life. So, in according to this, it would make sense to me that the wise and faithful servant was the exact opposite of this. He was someone who had his love walk under control, and he was also someone who had come out from the world and was separate. And friends, I'm telling you, these are two issues that for whatever reason, it seems as if the church world is not talking about. In fact, there are a lot of people preaching, you can be more like the world. It's okay to have a drink or two, just don't get drunk. It's okay to go do some of these things. And it's becoming almost the boundaries between Christianity and what a Christian's life should look like and what a sinner's life looks like starts becoming blurred. And friends, I'm telling you, nowhere in the Bible does it say to live that way. It says we are the light of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, what in the world are we here for? So when we're growing up spiritually, these two issues, when you reach this stage of adulthood spiritually, these two issues are taken care of. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at this. In this context, I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to trust me with his goods. Amen. I want the Lord to look upon my life and say, that's a man I can honor with promotion. And friends, a big part of honoring God is loving what he loves and hating what he hates. And there are some things that God hates, not people. God doesn't hate anyone. But if you read your Bible, you find out there are some things that God absolutely despises. And if you and I are smart, and as we grow spiritually, we begin loving what he loves and we begin despising what he despises. And a lot of that will call you out from the world. Notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Why? For you're still carnal. There is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not yet carnal? Now watch this. And walk as men. One translation says, and walk as mere men. Meaning there ought to be a quality about a Christian's life that sets our lives above the people of this world who don't know God. to where destruction and even poverty comes to 1,000 on this hand and 10,000 on the other, but it does not come nigh us. Our life is called out from the world, not just from sin, but also from sickness and every other bit of the devil's junk. But he says we shouldn't be walking as mere men. There's got to be a different quality about our life. But notice the two issues that these individuals were having that still made them babes spiritually. Number one, they were still carnal. And number two, they had this love issue, envyings and strife. And as we grow spiritually, these two issues begin taking care of themselves. Our appetite changes spiritually. You know what I mean by that? I'll give you an example. I was reading a book this afternoon. It's one of my favorite books. I mean, literally, it's probably a top three book, and it's verging on the top book the more I reread it. And it's Reinhard Bonnke's biography. I mean, it's splendid. I think we have a couple of copies out there in the bookstore. I don't say that to sell books. I just say, if you were wondering, I think we got there, a couple out there. Splendid, splendid book. And he was talking about, he was a pastor out there in, I think it was Zimbabwe during this particular time. And in his church, he had about 50 people. But he was also running a correspondence course. He bought a little printing press and began printing up Bible school lessons and distributing it. And from that, I think his mailing list got up to like 50,000. And so there are other missionaries in the area knew of him because of this course. And one of them, I forget the name of the town, was a pastor in this particular town there in the country. And it was a diamond town where they get a lot of the diamonds. And so this town had a lot of money, had a lot of people who had flown in from other parts of the world and other locations and were living there to help mine these mines. And, you know, it was just flourishing economically where a lot of the other cities in that area were not. And the pastor of the church there called Reinhard and asked him to come over there and speak. And so he drives over there. I think he said it was about 160 miles from where he was. He goes in there to preach, and he notices that everyone in the congregation is older. And so after the service, he asked the pastor, he said, "Where are all the young people?" And he said, "Well, Reinhard, that's one of the reasons why I brought you here, is to show you what's happening to all the young people." And so they got in the car, and they drove a little ways and went out into the warehouse district. And out in the middle of this warehouse district, there was a place that you could hear before you saw. Just a club is basically what it was. And Reinhard was hearing the music, and he said he couldn't hear the lyrics, but he could feel the beat and the bass and hear it. And so they stopped right out in front of it and saw this place was packed. I mean, this place was packed of people. And Reinhard, this grieved him. Now, this is a key, friends. Some of this stuff out in the world should just grieve our heart. And it shouldn't make us mad. It ought to make us sad. It ought to make us want to do something to help people. And so they saw it, and they're sitting there, and, you know, he's being affected by this spiritually, by this music. And he asked me, he said, "What is this?" And this was in the early 70s. I think, in fact, it was 1970, if I'm not mistaken. And the pastor said, it's a disco club. They were playing disco music. And Reinhard was raised holiness. I mean, holiness all the way. His parents wouldn't allow him to go to a circus because the way the women hung from the trapeze, you know, those times. So very, very strict, strict, strict holiness. And so this was just something he could not fathom. And so there, the pastor gets out of the car and goes and sits on the hood. And Reinhard goes out there with them. And they're just being affected by this spiritually. It's just grieving them. See, when you grow up spiritually, there's some things you just can't stomach anymore. You know, when we were at Dairy Queen, my little boy, he pointed to this red thing that he wanted. And it was like a red, I forget the name of the thing. But so it looked like strawberry, and so they gave it to him, and he's drinking. I mean, he's just drinking it up, and he asked me and his mother to taste. And so we did, and it was, I mean, nasty. I mean, sour, and, you know, it was bad. I mean, just bad. And you wonder, how in the world can he stomach it? But to a kid, you know, some of that sour stuff is just, it's amazing. But for us, it was, I just can't even. That's the way it is when you grow up spiritually. It's just some programs you could stomach when you were a spiritual baby and a child, but as you grow spiritually, you don't even have an appetite for it anymore. And so he's there. I'm going somewhere with this. He's there and he's seeing all of that. And the pastor looks over at him and says, I want to go in it. He said, no, we can't go in there. What if someone sees us from the church? They'll never know what we're doing in there. He said, you're crazy. We can't go in there. And so he's trying to get back in the car. And he said, as he's getting in the car, he's got a witness of the Spirit on the inside to go in there. To go in there. And so he says, all right, I feel like we should go. And so they go over there and open up the door. And they said it was almost like your hair started being blown by the music. I mean, the music was coming out of the speaker so loud it almost blew you back. And he said, as soon as he opened up the door, he saw almost a vision. Instead of seeing these young youth dancing and all of that, he saw emptiness. He saw sadness. He saw depression and all of these things. And friends, I've been fortunate enough, you know, I started preaching the gospel at a very young age. The majority of my 20s I've spent preaching and teaching and in the Word of God. And so there are a lot of things that I didn't have to face that people face when they go through college and whatnot. But I can remember when I was a teenager, there were some things that, you know, you knew you shouldn't be doing. And when you did those things, I can just remember the emptiness that I felt. You know what I'm saying? A shallowness of heart. It's almost searching for something. I almost feel dirty. Just dirty when you were doing it. Dirty when you were, you know. And that's what he saw. That's what it is. When you're a spiritual baby, you're in those things and you don't know what it is. But the longer you live there, you come away from it. And there's just a misery that's tied to that. A pain that is so deep in that. And it's so attractive on the outside. It's like cotton candy. I mean, to a kid, it looks so good. But when you taste it, there's no substance to it. And if you keep eating it, and that's all you eat is that sugary junk, it's going to affect your body. It's going to affect even the chemicals in your body. All that sugar. And spiritually speaking, it's the same way. There are things that look so entertaining. And then when you taste it, it almost leaves you just, ugh. When you grow spiritually, you just can't stomach it anymore. You don't judge people for doing it. Your heart goes out to them. But your desires spiritually start changing. Go to the book of Hebrews. I'll finish the story, but let's look at it in light of Scripture. In the book of Hebrews, we see this. Hebrews chapter 5. And let's look at verse 12. Watch what he says here. He says, for the time you ought to be teachers, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, who uses milk, babies do, is unskillful in the word of what? Righteousness, doing right. Notice when you're a baby, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. You're unskilled in the word of doing right. You're unskilled in God's ways and God's laws. And so you don't know any better. This looks entertaining, but it just, you don't know not to go in there and do it. You're unskillful. But strong meat belongeth, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice when you're developed spiritually, you're able to see that is good and that is evil. I can deal with that. I don't need to be around that. And friends, that's what Reinhardt was seeing, is these people didn't know any better. They're empty. They're in there thinking they're having fun, but every one of them go home leaving feeling empty, and they're trying to fill it with all this other junk. And so he's in there, and as soon as he's in there, the Holy Spirit tells him, I want you to preach in this place. I want you to preach there. And so he goes and finds the owner of the joint, walks in there to the owner and says, I want to preach here. He says, are you nuts? You can't preach here. This is a disco club. And, you know, he'd just come from preaching. He had a suit and tie on. He said, you're a preacher, aren't you? He said, yeah, I'm a preacher. He said, you can't preach here. And the guy started walking off, and Reinhardt said something like, do you honestly think that what these people need is what you're giving them here in this disco club? And he said, when he said that, the man turned around and he said, you know what? I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I've got two kids of my own, and I don't know if I want them in the state and the condition of what these people are in. And he says, I'll tell you what, you can't preach tonight, but come back tomorrow night. There was a Saturday night that he was going to come back to, Friday night this night. He said, come back tomorrow night and I'll let you preach for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I'll let you preach. Well, Reinhardt said, give me 5 minutes. He said, all right, I'll give you 5 minutes. So he came back the next night. And sure enough, they got there at 11:30, you know, waiting for the opportunity to preach. And he said there wasn't any stool that was open besides the bar stool that was next to the bar. So they were just sitting there waiting for the music to stop. And sure enough, 12 o'clock hit and the music stopped. Reinhardt said he marched up there, grabbed the microphone from the DJ guy, and started preaching. He knew he had 5 minutes. He said he preached for 2 minutes, and after 2 minutes, the Holy Spirit fell in that place. And people started weeping. He said, I'm smart enough to know when people start crying, that's the time to give the altar call. And so he gave the altar call. How many of you want Jesus? Every hand in the place went up. Every hand in the place. Why? Because when the light of God's word and the Holy Spirit dawns on your heart, you come to your senses. You're like, I don't need this junk. There's something so real about the gospel, so tangible about God's presence, so wonderful about the word of God that when you hear it, light dawns on you. And it's not condemnation, it's freedom. And so he, you know, he preached and had all those people give their life to the Lord and, you know, went off, and because he wasn't the pastor there, went back to where he was, came back a year later, and the pastor said, I want to show you something. And he drove him through the warehouse district area and took him over to this place that was the club, and he said the place was rocking, but it wasn't with music. And he opened up the door, and it was everyone, all these young people that were there saying, Bunky, 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 Bunky. And all those people had such a life change that the disco club shut down, and all those young people turned it into a church. And he said he beat on the door and said, Jesus is Lord. And they shouted out, Jesus is Lord. And he said, hallelujah. And the teenager said, hallelujah. And he kept going and going. Friends, I'm telling you, that's what God does to the heart of man. He changes it. He changes it. It's not about just getting a get out of hell card. It's about a life change that can touch your heart so deeply and passionately. You don't want that junk anymore. It's a freedom. That's what growing up spiritually does. Changes your heart. Changes your nature. That's what happened to these young people. Had a life change. Friends, when you're developed spiritually, and man, I didn't get out hardly anything I wanted to share this evening, but I suppose what we got out works. When you're growing up spiritually, your spiritual senses become more aware. You're able to see good from evil. Good from evil. Like I said, I look over the body of Christ today, and I tell you what, I'm believing for a revival. Not in a sense where people are hanging from a chandelier type deal, but life change. Like I said, it just seems as if from the way people are preaching, that it's almost getting more worldly, more secular. I'm a fan of contemporary. I like the lights, and I like the I don't know what those things are, but reflect lights and you know, all the shapes. And it kind of looks like a circle, but yet a square at the same time. I don't know what they are, but it works, and I want young people to be attracted to the gospel. I believe church ought to be fun and exciting, and I love my kids being able to come to church and play on a playground and have rooms that are fun. We need those things, but what we don't need is to come to a place where living for the world is okay. And like I said, and we'll talk about this next, probably next week. But when we're in these types of situations and you see people who are living in the world, it shouldn't make you mad. Spiritual people don't judge. In fact, that's the second thing I was going to say tonight, but we don't have time, is that the more spiritual you get, compassion overtakes judgment. That's a big way you can tell how spiritual you are. When you see people in need and in sin, do you judge them, or does your heart of compassion go out to them? Compassion replaces judgment. And so when you see it makes me sad. It makes me sad to hear preachers say they sit down with their board members and have wine and drink. It makes me sad. I don't judge them, but it makes me sad. How close to the world are we going to get? And there's a reason why we're not seeing miracles and life change and financial breakthroughs and signs and wonders like people saw in the olden days. It's not because the gospel's changed. It's because people aren't living the gospel that they know. Friends, I'm telling you, true spirituality is coming out from the world and just being separate. Not because it's terrible to live like that. It's because you understand that the only freedom you can get is with God, and all the other junk is just going to leave you empty, longing for more. It is a path to destruction. The more spiritual you get, the more clearly you're able to discern good from evil. You see, I don't want any part of that. Friends, my mother's mom was an alcoholic, and it started off with a little glass of wine, but it didn't end that way. Oh, it hurt her. It hurt her. And I hear people going down these directions, and they're preaching, talking these ways. And friends, it may be, maybe they can contain themselves, but I know there are people who they're talking to who cannot. And it led to 18 years of abuse for my mother because of a glass of wine. Friends, I'm telling you, our goal is to come out from the world and reach it. But we cannot reach them if we have lives that they don't want. I like what Brother Moore says. So many people are not Christians because they have relatives that are. It's the truth. No, we ought to be the most loving, fun, happy-go-lucky, carefree, not stressed out, happy people, prospering on every side, seeing the goodness of God, our kids developing and growing in wisdom because God's graced them with favor, and our businesses. I mean, we ought to see so much of the life of God that the world is beating down the door to get what we want. That's why we want to grow spiritually, is to fellowship with the Lord, to know Him, to savor Him, walk with Him. And then with that, with natural maturity as well as spiritual maturity, you get counted on for more. Just as, you know, you were able to vote the other day and be given that responsibility. That's the same way with us spiritually. When you grow up, God trusts you with more. He trusts you with His goods. Like we read about in the book of Matthew, He trusts you with His household. He trusts you with the things that He has on this earth. And He can trust you with more, and promotion comes, and increase comes, and quality of life comes. And you look over your life and say, oh, I've got such a good life. And I thank God me and my wife are that way. I'll say this in closing. I kid you not, me and my wife were talking about how much we love our life. There's such a peace and a joy and a warmth that we have between each other and in our home. And I love my staff and I love my church. And even today I was just weeping because of what a joy it is to do what I do. And thinking about getting up here in front of all you people tonight and preaching the word to you. And how much I love what I do. And my wife was asking, she said, what do you think that it is that we do? It makes, you know, so many people seem to be struggling. I said, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and I have. I said, I can't pinpoint just one thing. But I said, all I know is I'm doing more of the word now than I'd ever before. I'm doing more of what I know. I'm walking by faith. I'm doing my best to live by love. I'm doing my best to be led by the Spirit. And friend, I'm telling you, according to James chapter 1, when you are a doer of the word and not a hearer of it only, you will be blessed in your deeds. And friends, I'm telling you, that's the only way I can explain it. The Lord is blessing us. He's blessing me. And it's nothing that I'm doing differently as far as in the natural, but spiritually speaking, I'm doing more of the word now than at any other time in my life. And I'm kidding you not, God's changing my life in a radical way. He'll do the same thing for you. The more you grow spiritually, the more you lose your appetite for the things of the world. I'll put it to you this way. You guard your heart more. You guard your heart because you understand out of it flow the issues of life. Ah, you've been a wonderful audience. I could go on till Sunday, but we'll let you go. Let's bow our heads. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these people. Oh, Father, I thank you for